All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, presented by Reebok. I am Ben Alderman.
I'm Brent Morrison. We're sitting here with Smelly Mark Bell.
Hey, now.
President of the Slanger franchise.
There we go.
Mark, you've been on the show before a couple times. You're our second three-time guest.
There we go. I know, because I'm local and I'm friends with you guys, so I get special treatment, right? That's the way it goes.
That's right, man. Keep it in the family.
This is my fifth year in a row, by the way, of being here at the CrossFit Games, and I don't feel like I get the respect of the other repeat athletes that have been to the games. And I don't know what the reason is.
Five consecutive. There's not that many athletes that have done that.
I know. I would have got Becca Voigt, and there's like what, maybe two or three others.
Ben Smith.
You got Froning, right?
Right. Well, maybe you need to win one year to like establish yourself as a champion caliber athlete.
It's not an easy thing to win. You know, Frazier's on fire this year. Maybe next year will be my year. I got to work on my mobility, to be honest with you. Everything else is right there, though.
It's just a mobility issue.
It's just a mobility. It doesn't. Not the fact that I weigh 290 that's slowing me down. It's just a mobility. Can't tie my shoes. It's hard to do CrossFit. It's hard to do all the rope climbs and stuff with no shoes on.
Bro, like, you probably would have won the 7K run if you didn't have to tie your shoes five different times.
Yeah, see?
And get, like, a medical staff to do it for you.
Well, when you get this big, you just stop tying your shoes usually. But today, you guys will notice I was feeling a little chipper, feeling good. See how I threw CrossFit right in there, chipper? Yeah. You guys see how I threw that in there?
You're a pro.
Yeah, give me $5 for that, by the way. So Alderman over here is, like, blowing up toilets. What's going on with him?
Alderman came
He's
down.
On the fritz.
He came down with a little bit of a stomach bug yesterday. Apparently, it's a 12-hour deal. It's been making its way around the games.
It's like running through everybody, huh?
Running through, kind of like you. Kind of like you.
I'm gonna run through every CrossFitter here. You used to call it a stomach bug. I call it the green apple splatters. Is kind of the more PC doctory term that we like to use.
Green apple splatters.
Green apple splatters. Too many green apples, and you know what's gonna happen next.
That's true. I never thought about that.
That's why I don't eat fruit. I went to use the little outhouse deal over there earlier today, and you know, every time you go in there, you're just like, man, like each and every time you enter the room, that little tiny room, it just smells like they're cooking poop in there. It's like 110 degrees, 120 degrees out here, and it's just steamy and it's nasty, and it's just people are having paleo bars and all different kinds of things, and they're lighting up that bathroom over there, and Alderman is contributing big time in a big way.
It's a true statement, because all of these CrossFit events, if you're an athlete, every bathroom is ripe in there. It's thick, it's foggy, because the food that you're eating is designed to like move your metabolism and get things like burning.
Yeah.
So you don't like hold on to anything in there. It just goes right through.
You're working out three times a day. You need to fuel your body. You need at least six or seven meals a day. Six or seven meals a day is going to lead to
at least 3 to 4 poops a day.
At least 3 to 4 poops a day.
Yeah, so Ben's neck deep in it right now. We got some Imodium AD. We got some anti-nausea stuff. But he's soldiering on.
What is going on with Matt Frazier? Why is he so angry this year, you think? Any idea?
I think Frazier's been that angry.
he's been there before.
He's been that angry since he started competing in anything. I've talked to him a few times, and he's just that way.
How big is the lead now? Like 100-something points or whatever?
160 points. Biggest lead there's ever been.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have they had this point system? I don't pay attention to every little detail of CrossFit. Have they had this point system from the beginning?
No. So they used to score points based on placing number, kind of like golf. Right. So the lower the score, the better the placing, the better the ranking. They changed that, though.
Right now, if you get first, you get 100 points. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. And then second is 95, third is 90, and then it changes a little bit the further down you get, but they went to that point system in 2011, I think.
Okay.
And so that's the first year that Rich won. Just to give you an idea of how dominant Frazier's been.
Right.
Rich, as dominant as he was over those 4 years, never had a lead like this.
Right.
So
has he ever had this amount of points, you know, like at this stage of the game?
That I don't. Well, that's a little bit hard to say because they change the number of events every year.
Okay.
So I think there's more events this year, so there's more potential points.
It'd be pretty cool to get to the end and say I scored more points than anybody. That goes back to my point of me doing a perfect 500 Fran, and nobody gives me credit for that either. I don't know what's going on around here. I don't get the respect as a CrossFitter that I should.
Well, one thing that's going to get you more respect is having your slingshot on display here at the games.
Booth
right?
102.
Booth 102. That's the first time you've ever done that.
It's the first time we've done it, and, you know, since I've been coming here, I've wanted to always have one. It was a matter of, does it fit our company? and you know, is it cost effective and those kinds of things. Now that the company is where it's at, it's more important that we just continue to get the name out there. And we're always trying to think of creative ways, you know, other than just having a booth. So we're working on some pretty big things for next year that hopefully everything works out just right. And we may or may not even have a booth here next year. We might have something different to execute.
What does that mean, Mark, when you say, like, where the company's at now?
Just the company has, it's doubled in size, you know, since the very beginning. The company's been around for about 5 years. And last year our growth was 600%. And so, you know, when you have a growth spurt like that, you no longer allow the financial side of it to bog you down. And it gives you a little bit more financial freedom to say, hey, let's try that. You know, whereas before it's like, well, we don't want to try anything risky or try anything weird. You know,
might put you out of business.
Yeah, and, you know, each person, I think, can relate to it. Even something like going to an event or something when you don't have a whole lot of money, $300, $200, $100. Sometimes you're like, man, that's kind of a lot, man. That's a stretch for me and my family to go afford to do that. And that's not for me for right now. But the way I've always tried to treat myself and to treat my company is I never use words like that. I don't ever say that I can't afford anything. I always try to treat myself like a king, basically, and treat myself to a higher standard, not above anybody else or anything like that. But I like to try to think, rather than I can't afford something, that's not right for me for right now. Just that little twist in the mindset and kind of keep it more positive and keep it from getting too negative. But right now, the company's, you know, in the positive by a lot, and we're doing really good. And so I love CrossFit. I'm a big fan of CrossFit, have been from the beginning. And I wanted to show my support and come here. Whether it works out that we sell, you know, 50K in products this week or not, I like being here and it's a lot of fun.
When you entertain those new ideas or things, hey, maybe we'll try that, what's the evaluation process like? What makes it a worthwhile risk or worthwhile attempt for you when you look at it?
Yeah, the markers are, you know, probably different than what most people may experience. A lot of people like to look at numbers and look at things that are very black and white. I have people that work for me that is their job is to you know, look at that stuff. But for me, the marker is, did we have fun? Did we reach a lot of people? Did we have a positive impact on people's lives? Are people coming up to us and saying, hey, I watch a lot of your videos, you really helped my deadlift. Hey, I watch a lot of your videos, you really inspired me, you helped change my life. If we're not getting that and we're going to shows, then we'll probably discontinue going to some of the shows. But we get an overwhelming amount of people coming up to us saying those kinds of things each and every time. And it's happening more and more, taking pictures with fans and stuff like that. I kind of think it's funny in a way. I'll walk through here and someone say, hey, you got a second for a picture? I don't want to bother you. It would be more bothersome to me if he didn't stop me and take a picture. I really like having an audience. I like having a crowd. They say
you like an audience? Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
Never would have guessed that.
Yeah, you guys seen me lift some of the videos of me lifting. I'm cranking up the music, and I'm making a little bit of an idiot of myself. It's not so much about that I need to get that fired up and that crazy in my head to lift. It's more like I can't do this by myself. So I'm going to get fired up. If I start making some noise, you guys are going to get behind me a little bit more. Maybe you guys aren't super vocal or whatever, but you'll give me a pat on the back or say, come on, or clap your hands together. That little extra support is going to get me fired up and get me going in the right direction. So what we're always trying to do with the company, whether it's super training or slingshot, is we're always trying to spit as much positivity as we can and try to get as much momentum as we can to keep moving the company forward.
Well, it sounds like what you're trying to do is, just like you said, you fire people up when you're lifting,
yeah.
Right? You're like, hey, I don't need to get that fired up, but I kind of do it a little bit for the people around me too,
yeah.
Right? Now you're trying to, like, fire people up with the slingshot and what you're doing with the company, right? Like, you're
exactly, done. Yeah. Yeah, always trying to inspire. I try to teach people that, you know, I'm here to inspire and not just instruct. When I went over and taught the deadlift yesterday, it was a little bit more of a setting where it's going to be a little bit more technical, but I shared with everybody before I talked about reps and sets and keeping your back straight and all those good things. There's only so many ways you can say those things. Before I shared any of that with people, I said, you know what, each person has a gift. It's your job as a human being to figure out what that gift is, what that strength is, and build upon that strength. Everyone always talks about trying to fix their weaknesses or build up their weaknesses. Those aren't fun things to explore, and they're not great things to spend too much time on. You do want to work on your weaknesses in some sense, but at the same time, your strengths are probably always going to be your strengths, and they're always going to be there for you when you need them. And so you might as well ride those out as much as you possibly can.
We've talked about this as it pertains to the CrossFit competition with a scoring system. It really does reward
people.
You
guys are such meatheads.
Really does reward people for being great at one thing.
Yeah, right.
And like you need to push yourself to win those events in order to be rewarded for them. If
right.
you just kind of are not bad at anything, it's not good enough to win anymore.
Yeah, like you know? With, obviously the lead that Fraser has is just like his arm will have to fall off or something for him to lose at this point. But it's hard for anybody to really gain ground on some of these top 10 athletes right now because, like you said, they're not going to be so awful at something that somebody's going to hop up a bunch of different spots. Or you might be trading back and forth one slot or another. It seems like the girls are really competitive. There's just a few points in between second and, like, fifth or something like that, right? The main thing is find what you're good at, really work the hell out of that. I think one of the girls that's been dominating most of the action is an Australian weightlifter, right? Isn't she like in the Olympics for?
Yeah, she qualified for Rio.
That blows my mind. That's amazing, and for me to see that is really cool because I've gotten so much flack for being accepting of the CrossFit community, and people always saying that you guys are weak, and I'm like, I train these guys. You know, back a few years ago when I was working with you guys directly, I'm like, I don't think these guys squatting over 400 pounds is weak. You guys are squatting double body weight. It is a drug-tested organization. You guys are under 200 pounds. And the main focus isn't how much you can squat. You have so many other aspects and so many other things to worry about. So it always made me shake my head and go, wow, I guess, the powerlifters are just kind of hating on the community. And it kind of makes me sad in a way because the powerlifting community is not accepting enough to really grow. And that's why I don't think powerlifting will ever reach the status that it needs to reach. This community has been accepting of all aspects of growth, including allowing somebody like Reebok to come in. The CrossFit Games existed before Reebok ever stepped in, but Greg Glassman thought it was a good idea to associate with Reebok because the people at Reebok were already into CrossFit. He
right.
wasn't like, oh, there's a big contract. I'm going to go sign that. That sounds great. They were already into CrossFit. They were already CrossFitters. He's like, this is a perfect match. This makes sense. This is going to build up our company. And now look at what it's become. Look how many people are here. It's insane.
Let's talk a little bit about the powerlifting community. Our listeners, maybe, they know you, but they don't know much about the community where you came from.
Let's just keep it that way.
I mean, I think right now, man, when I look at you, you're kind of above any one community. You kind of got your hands in different areas, right? You hear the CrossFit Games, you go to the Arnold.
Yeah.
You are very open and accepting, but you're born of the powerlifting community. That's where you kind of cut your teeth.
Yeah.
You were with Louis Simmons, Westside Barbell. So talk a little bit about that community, the people that do powerlifting exclusively, kind of what type of a figure you are to them, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think first, I'll answer that last question first. I recognize what I mean to some of the people in the powerlifting community, so I try my best to give everybody the best experience that I can when I meet them, rather than just like shaking their hand, taking a quick picture. Even if I'm not that excited or don't have that much energy at the moment, I pep myself up a little bit. I try to pep them up. I try to communicate with them, talk to them, actually see what they're doing, see what they're up to. I ran into a guy at Whole Foods the other day, and he said he's never done a powerlifting meet. And I hit him, and I was like, come on, dude. What are you doing? What are you waiting for? And he said he squats. He said he's not strong enough. I said, what do you squat? He said, 500 pounds. I said, 500-pound squat at 190 pounds is amazing. I was like, you need to get your ass in a powerlifting meet right away. So I do know who I am in the community. I try not to make too big of a deal of it so my fat head doesn't get any bigger than it is, but I do understand that it means a lot to people for me to even shoot them a message via social media, give them a shout out via social media, say hi to them, give them a little bit of extra encouragement. Now, the powerlifting community, as a community as it is now, is kind of like, I remember my brothers in like the late 80s, maybe early 90s, they went to a Metallica concert. And when they went to Metallica concert, they saw a band, they saw a group, and they were more, almost more fired up about that band than they were about Metallica. About 2 years later, that band blew up, and my brothers kind of no longer really liked that band as much as they did when they saw them kind of in our own backyard in Poughkeepsie, New York. And then my brothers went on to even follow that band, Guns N' Roses, to some local joints where they saw them play in much smaller venues. And it was really cool to my brothers because it was like their own thing. Like, hey, we have this thing. There wasn't as many, you know, there was no social media, obviously. There was no other outlets for some of this stuff to go. So somebody might have caught like a cassette tape or recorded it somewhere or recorded it off of something. But it was all before like Appetite for Destruction and stuff like that came out. And so it was like their own niche thing that they had that they can all talk about and all get excited about. And then when it blows up, a lot of times people are a little less accepting of it. And I think that the CrossFit community has gotten a little bit of that. Some of the OGs are like, man, I don't like the corporate this or all the rules or when, you know, CrossFit sometimes has to
the commercialization
regulate and sue people and do things. But that's, it's a big company. They have their name. They have their brand. They got to take care of business the way they need to take care of it. And so I think sometimes people in the powerlifting community, they want to hold powerlifting close to their body. They don't want to accept any changes. You know, if you did a powerlifting open and you had 5 weeks or 3 weeks or so to do a full powerlifting meet, basically film your own heaviest lifts that you may already be doing as you're going into a contest, and then we're going to count that. Somebody's going to watch that. Somebody's going to regulate that, make sure you did things by the rules to the T. You could take those lifts, those quote-unquote gym lifts, and now they can become competitive lifts that you can compare. You guys can compare each other, live in the same area, same body weight. You guys can compare, like, oh, man, I got him in the deadlift, and then he gets you in the squat, and then you get him in the bench, and so on.
That would be awesome, man.
That would flip powerlifting upside down, but I don't know how accepting the community is to some radical change like that.
Yeah, it seems like
online powerlifting, what are we talking about? They'd flip out. You know?
Right, yeah, and that's what I'm really wondering is a lot of the heat that you're catching, I don't want to say a lot of the heat, is some of the heat you're catching, is it primarily from just kind of like trolls and like, you know, like guys that just don't get it? I mean, or is it coming from the coaches in the powerlifting community?
So it used to come from the top. That's a really interesting point. It used to come from the top. And, you know, now that there's monetary gain to be had for people coaching CrossFitters via, you know, online training or things like that, some of the powerlifters have stepped in to help the community with strength. But these were the same people that were talking trash on it just a few years ago. So a lot of the stuff from the top people has stopped. And I think people can recognize, like, you know what, no matter how you slice it, there's no other way to put it. Rich Froning is better looking than you. He's stronger than you. He can outwork you. He can outrun you. He can just do you in just about every which way. Plus, he's got a lot of money in the bank nowadays from all his success. And you know, all you can do sometimes, and I think more people need to do this, is just step back and just put your hands together and just applaud people every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with just accepting the fact that somebody's really, really doing well at something. And maybe it is in your space. And, of course, jealousy is going to creep in there a little bit, but they have their gift, and hopefully you have found yours.
Those are good words. I think that the one thing that has to be addressed when trying to take powerlifting to another level, though, is the public perception when it comes to steroids being involved.
Yeah, we need more of them. I know. I agree. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a bag right here full of them. Oh, that's your bag.
That's my bag. Yep.
You got some good stuff in there, Ben Alderman.
I know.
Yeah, you know, it is true. It's weird what drugs in any community do. Like, what do in an urban setting, you know, what do drugs do? They make the area a little dirty, and that's exactly what it does to powerlifting. Even though You know, I'm in the film Bigger, Stronger, Faster, openly talking about it. It has definitely watered down the information to come from bodybuilders. You guys might even be to the point where you're like, I don't know if I want... You guys have been around the block long enough to understand you can learn from anybody. It doesn't matter if they're on or off or whatever. But in general, a lot of coaches and a lot of people would be turned off if they were to hear something from someone like Ronnie Coleman. Because Ronnie Coleman is 300 pounds, and he's, back in the day, he's shredded, and he's deadlifting 800 pounds. Obviously, he's somebody that uses performance-enhancing drugs. So it takes some of the legitimacy out of it, where you're going to think, well, maybe Ronnie Coleman doesn't know much about training. Maybe he just eats a lot and takes a lot of stuff and gets bigger and stronger almost automatically without the same hard work as somebody that we might view as being natural. The other side of things, too, for me, as somebody that sponsors people, you can just kind of take this whatever way you want, but I don't financially sponsor any powerlifters. So, I mean, those of you listening, you can kind of take that whatever way you want, but I think you understand the message that I'm giving when I say that. There's more value in other sports. There's more value in other people, because the other people that I support in other communities, they are more understanding of how we can work together. They're more understanding of they can do something for Slingshot and I can do something for them, and vice versa, and back and forth, and we can both do something for each other and we can all grow. If I take somebody in for social, you know, to work with them, to have them be a sponsored Slingshot athlete, we have more media than just about anybody there is out there. I have more YouTube videos in the fitness community than anybody in the entire world. I started my channel in 2007. YouTube started in 2006. I was making videos before YouTube ever existed on something that doesn't exist anymore, called PutFile back in the day. And so I already have a history of being able to pump people up and do some different things for them. A lot of times in the powerlifting community, they don't understand the real power of that. They don't really understand if you go from 50,000 subscribers or followers, whatever platform you're on, to 100, what that can really do for you if you're trying to sell shirts and ebooks and some of these different things.
Yeah, man, I feel like you have, I mean, you kind of were a step for you. Anybody who wants to go into business has to have that is an athlete at one time, and you at one time were just an athlete.
Yeah.
You're just competing. You have to have a requisite level of talent or some sort of it factor that makes you different from the other competitors, right? Some people like Frazier has zero bedside manner. He is not a good PR guy, but his ability is unbelievable. So he's going to have a platform that he can capitalize on.
He's not a good PR guy in a sense that he's maybe aggressive with his language a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's just very short.
Right,
very.
Okay.
He's like, all I care about is training. And, you know, to some people, that's like, that's an attractive quality.
He's a savage, yeah.
To the media, it's not going to be very attractive because they're not going to get a lot of great content
from
him.
Might be like Barry Bonds-ish or something.
Barry Bonds, exactly. So, but for you, I feel like I've always felt that you have this other talent besides your strength and your ability to compete. And that's like your ability to hustle. You were on Instagram after Ben and I, and you're like, what's this Instagram business? Bro, you have like 1,000 more posts than I do. You're posting all the time. And that's a talent in itself. That's like the ability to be aggressive and hustle and enjoy that type of stuff. You know what I mean? Has that always been the way you were?
As a kid, I tried to sell stuff door to door. I did all kinds of stuff. Like I've always liked to work hard. Ironically, kind of along those same lines, I've never really had like a regular job. I've always been inspired and motivated by trying to find something different to do other than just to work on a roof somewhere or something like that. I never had the desire to put in that kind of work, but I've always worked hard. Strength training has put me on a whole nother level in terms of my ability to work and my ability to accept work, my ability to accept failures, my ability to accept the gains and stuff that come along with the hard work. And so, I always try to convey the message to people that when you're training, hopefully your training means more to you than just your actual training. Hopefully it means something else to you. Hopefully you recognize if you have the ability to drop 20 pounds of body fat and let's say you've been a certain weight your whole adult life, and you drop 20 pounds of body fat through diet and through training, you have the ability to conquer just about anything because you had the discipline to stop putting those foods in your mouth that you're so used to, that you're so comfortable with over the years. You had the ability to take yourself in training into a whole other spot. So if you have the ability to increase your deadlift, to increase your bench press, don't be such a meathead or a knucklehead to think that that's all that that means. It can mean a whole lot more. Maybe you have the ability to help somebody else, and maybe it goes beyond that even. Maybe you have the ability to inspire other people, other family members, to get involved in training, to lose weight. I'm sure you guys, with the way that you guys look and the way that you guys train, I'm sure you guys have inspired hundreds and hundreds of people that you come in contact with on a daily basis, not just the members of your gym, but your wives and your side girlfriends that you guys have.
It's mostly mostly through fashion.
I have a side boyfriend. His name's Blair.
His name's Blair. Yeah, I'm sure you guys inspire a lot of family members and stuff like that, too. I'm sure you get a lot of questions all the time. So to me, you know, it's not just about the actual training, and it's not just about it's about being able to handle more all the time and to be able to figure out how to keep moving forward and how to take the highs and lows and have them be a little bit more on a level playing field rather than, you know, if somebody tells me a number that we did in sales for the month, you'll never see me up here about it and you'll never see me down here about it, regardless of how successful or how bad it may have been.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you work so hard is evident in the success and also like the amount of time you put into stuff. But whenever anybody ever comes up and talks to you, they would think that you don't work that hard because like you're so loose about everything.
Right.
Like you're always making jokes and nothing.
Never let them see you sweat.
Yeah, it's true. And I think you exemplify that.
Well, because I'm having fun with it. That's one of the main messages of Super Training Gym is, yes, we are working hard. Again, me playing the music and me getting into a certain mindset, you'll see me pound the chalk bowl, maybe pound myself in the chest or hit myself in the head or something. That has nothing to do with me being a raging lunatic or anything. That all that has to do with is that we have a ton of fun in the gym. And it's like, all right, boys, like everybody hold on for about 30 seconds. I need to concentrate for 30 seconds. And then we can all go back to messing around and horsing around and doing whatever the hell else we were doing before. You know?
Perfect. I want to go back a little bit and touch on just like you're talking about being an athlete and then just like if you've lost weight or if you've done this or that, you know, you can do all these other things.
Yeah.
You know? And then also kind of tying that to you not having a real job ever, you know? You know, when you're in training and you're doing something, you try it, and if it doesn't work, you stop doing it, right? And you do something else. Is that, it sounds almost like to me when I was hearing you talk about business, like you guys are willing to try things and do things, you know what I mean? Is it, do you feel like that mindset has been bred out of your athletic background?
Definitely. Business is a little bit different because sometimes you don't have as many options. When it comes to strength training, there's so many options. If you're trying to associate with a big company, Rogue or Reebok, you know, who's your other company that you're going to try to associate with that's bigger and better than those two? So, and sometimes when it comes to business, you don't have a choice but to try to hound them. But what you need to recognize is that if it didn't work the first time, you still need to try something different, but just with the same company. So maybe your approach wasn't good. You have to analyze it and think about it from their perspective. Why would Reebok want to sponsor this podcast? You know, if you guys are real short with them and send them a quick message, hey, we have this many followers, like it'd be cool if you guys, blah, 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 you know. It was real short. It wasn't much behind it. It wasn't heartfelt. Instead, you guys have been in the community. You've had the podcast for probably over a year or so, right?
It's 2 years.
You've had the podcast for over 2 years. You guys have associated with the best. Now Reebok recognizes what you can do for them because that's the most important thing. There's no reason to sugarcoat it or to not be transparent. It's everything's about money and everything is about what can you do for me. And now you guys have a relationship together. So those things take time. And, you know, for me to get my product on Rogue, get the slingshots going on Rogue, it took about 2 years. And now, according to some people at Rogue, some of my products are some of the best-selling things that they have in their product line, period, across the board, across even the stuff, even their own stuff that they have. So things take time, and you have to be tenacious with them. You can't ever give up on something. When it comes to lifting, whenever you make change, a lot of times you're going to go backwards. Whenever you make a real severe change, if I say, Blair, you know what? I know you like squatting with your feet that way, but we got to go this way. You got to squat wider, and we got to do it this way now because you're getting older. You had a few injuries, and we got it. First thing that's going to happen is going to go backwards. Probably number one because of the mental aspect of it. But number two, it's just different for him. So he's going to go backwards. Once he's able to accept that and do that for a little while, his body will adapt, and he'll be able to get better again. So training, business, they all end up being very closely related to each other.
So in the next 6 months or so, I know you said there's a bunch of stuff happening with Slanger, but what are you focused on athletically at this point?
Right now I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to bench press 600 pounds.
You've never done that before.
I've never done a 600-pound bench before. My best previous bench press is 578 pounds that I did last November. I tried a 600-pound bench, and it tore my pec off. And so the rematch for that is this November at Jesse Burdick's gym.
The rematch
with 600 pounds of iron. I feel so strong right now, and I don't want to be overly confident, but I do think that when the time comes that I not only want to hit 600 pounds, but it'll look like I have a little bit more in the tank than just 600 pounds. Hopefully to really, do that on the second attempt and try about a 611-pound bench on the third attempt. The main goal, too, side goal. I have multiple goals usually going into a competition, as I'm sure you guys have, first goal, second goal kind of thing. First goal is bench 600 pounds. I'm doing it in a full powerlifting meet, so the amount of people that have done 600 pounds in a full powerlifting meet is about like that many. So I'm hoping to be like the sixth or seventh one to ever be able to accomplish that. I got to out squat my bench, and hopefully I pull around 730, 740, 750, somewhere in that range. In my training, the training is very goal-oriented as well. I like to set rep records. I did 520 for 4 in the bench press a few days ago. I did a 620 deadlift for 5 reps. So I always have rep records that are associated with progress. They're usually 5 and below. And I just try to keep myself motivated, keep myself fired up by each and every time I go to the gym trying to break some of these records. It usually comes in like a 3-week wave that I try to break some of these records, so that way I'm not just going heavier and heavier every single week.
All right, cool, Mark. I think that's about all the time we got. But
awesome.
Thanks for coming, man. People aren't following you already. Where can they find you online?
My YouTube channel, where we put out about 5 videos every single week. It's youtube.com/supertraining06. I'm at Mark Smelly Bell on Instagram and Twitter. Awesome being on the show, and I'm super proud. I'm getting like goosebumps thinking about it. Super proud of you guys to be able to get out here in front of the Reebok booth like this. This is really cool.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right.
We look up to you a lot, so it's always great having you on.
Hallelujah.